So Rosh Lakishit said there was a Kishu Bailam, that the Bailam were Maktishit, even though Rav Yechon held that can't be, but he's relying on the sheet of the Tznuim, they could be Maktishit, even a Darvish, and a Kishu, so the Bailam were Maktishit. Then the Gemara asked the Kash, we'll just do this inside, starting from six lines from the bottom. The Gemara asked, V'harei Chozu Keren L'Bailam, that if so, then the Bailam already got back their share before the Gan of Shechtzit, it's already returned. Why is it considered returned? Because the Bailam asserted his control over it. He was Makdashit. He said, I raise a Hektish, and the Hektish was Chal. So that means that he's back in charge. It's no longer in the hands of the Ganav. It's Ki'ilu is in the hands of the Bailam, so it's been returned already. And if it's returned before you get brought to Beis Din, then you shouldn't be Chayav Kefel. So the Gemara answers, Kisham Bedin. It didn't happen before he got brought to Beis Din. It happened after. And after, not just Sha'amad Bedin, but after there was already a Gemar Din, there was a Gemar Din, that's when the owner was Makdashit Sotak. If the owner had been Makdashit while the Ganav was still on the loose, then there would be no Chiyuv Kefal, because that's called Chazakar on the Bible. So what happened was the first Edom came and they brought him to Beis Din, and Beis Din heard the Edom and they paskened the Shaila, they paskened the case. When the Gemara says Sha'amad Bedin, it means there was a Gemar Din, they paskened the case that the Ganav is Chayav. Then the owner, so therefore the Chiyuv Kefal is already finalized. He's Chayuv Kefal, he's not going to be Pukr anymore because the Hakdasha will be considered like a Hashava. It's too late for that. He's already Chayuv the Kefal. Then the owner is Makdashit, and the Hakdasha is Chal. The Gemara presumably means because of the Tznuim that you don't need it to be Rishus, right? So the Hakdasha is Chal. Then the Ganav goes and he Shechts it, and at that point, the Braisa says that because it's already Hektish, he's not Chayiv Gedal Vehe, because there's no Dal Vehe to Hektish. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidam, what's the case? You say Amad Bedin, which again is understood to mean there was a Gemar Din. What level of Gemar Din do you mean? There are two levels of Gemar Din. The first level is, we're based in, they hear this two sides, and they decide who's right, who's wrong. Plainly out to Potter, plainly out to Chayiv. You have to pay for this. That's the first stage of the Gemara Din. And then there's a subsequent stage where they say, go ahead and give it to him. Chayav Atalitinlai means, in theory, you are obligated, but that he hasn't received instructions yet. And Seitainlai is the actual instructions, go and give it to him. Which stage of the Gemara Din do you mean already have when you're trying to take care of the Chazakar and Labailam problem? So you want to say that there was already a Gemara Din. Which stage of the Gemara Din do you mean? If you mean it was the ultimate stage, that he was already told, go pay it, that's not a good case. That's not going to work for the Braisa. Why? Because the Braisa, remember, said that if it becomes Hektish, and then he shechts it, he's Patam Dal Vehei, because of Re'ehu, there's no Din of Dal Vehei to Hektish. Perfecting Gemara, but if it was already Seitainlai, then even without it being Hektish, if he would shecht it at this point, he wouldn't be chayav dal vehei. Mayir yehikdash v'lo hikdash namilo lechayav. Even if it, why only if it was hikdash? Even if he wasn't hikdash, he also wouldn't be chayav anymore dal vehei. The Amar Rava, because Rava said seitein loy, that once Beis Din tells him seitein loy tavach amachav, he subsequently tavach amachav pater. My tama, even to paskul, and they'll say once they finalized his status, tavach amachav have like gazlin. So then any subsequent Tficha Mechira is considered the Tficha Mechira of a Gazlan. And we'll come back to this another a little later in the Shir. But now just to explain, I guess, very very broadly or briefly, Havel Gazlan, meaning, because the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan is that a Ganav is doing something behind your back and a Gazlan is doing it in the open. And if he's in Beis Din, and Beis Din writing Paskin that you're Chayav, and at that point he goes and he shechts it, so that's the sign that he's sneaking and trying not to get caught with, that's the sign that he's doing with chutzpah, with brazenness. So that's the act of a Gazlan, not a Ganav. And so Rav says you wouldn't be Chayav Tal Vehei for such a Shechita. So therefore the Gemara says, okay, so the case... Rav is still talking. Rav continued, Chayav Atalitinlai. If, on the other hand, they had only done the preliminary stage of the Gemara Din, they told him that he is obligated, but they didn't tell him to go and
do it. Then he's still chayav dal v'hei if he's tevach u'malchar.
My tama, kimi nolit paskul and milsei, since they did not yet finalize the matter, I kati ganav, we still consider it a ganav, and therefore we can be chayav dal v'hei for the tzvichu mechiva. So the Gemara says, you're trying to avoid the problem, because of Karen Labailim. So you introduced the fact that it was already on my bedin, there was already a Gemara din. Now, what kind of Gemara din do you mean? If you mean the ultimate Gemara din, then there wouldn't be a chayav dal v'hei anymore, because it's already a gazal, not a ganav. So the case has to be that it wasn't the ultimate stage of the Gemara Din, it was the, what's called the penultimate stage, right? The next to last stage, the earlier stage of Chayav HaTalitin. At that point, so the Gemara is saying it's a little bit considered Gemara Din, but not entirely. At that point, there's enough of a Gemara Din that he's already chayiv kefel, and a hashava at this point won't make it chazer keren levaylim, so he's not going to become part of the kefel. But on the other hand, it's not such a complete gemar din that if he shechs it at this point, we would say that's the act of a gazlan rather than a ganav. No, he's still a ganav, and so if he shechs it, he'd be chayiv dal vehei, except. If the owner is makdashit, if the owner comes along and is makdashit, then he becomes part of the dal v'hei, and that's the chiddush of the price. That's the garden of hektish. V'akhtav v'chamachar, he's part of the dal v'hei because of the hektish. So, bottom line, at the end of the sugya, this last piece that we were dealing with that we were learning was dealing with two issues. There's the is he a ganav versus is he a gazlin? And is there a chazakar on the violin? Chazakar on the violin, for that we need to say that it was after the Gemara Din. Once you say it's after the Gemara Din, that might make him a gazlin rather than a ganav, which is not good for our brisa. So we have to say it was in between. It was a partial Gemara Din. It was the chayav atalizin line without that say tein loy. So that's enough of a Gemara Din that it's no longer chazakar on the violin, but it's not enough of a Gemara Din that he should become a gazlin. So the Gemara in this last piece was dealing with those two issues. The issue of, is it Chazakar and Levailim? And the issue of, did he become a Gazlan? What about a third issue? What about the issue of, could the owner be Makdish it? It's Eini Bershusa. In the simple reading of the Gemara, that was over and done with. Right, the Gemara earlier had asked, right, when Mesuzah and Shlokish said that the Brayis is talking about Hikdashu Bailim, the Gemara said, the owner, Reuven, he was Makdashit after Shimon stole it. How could Reuven be Makdashit? It's the same Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara answered, Hu Damar Ketznuin. The Rosh Lakish argues with Rabbi Yechanan, and Rosh Lakish holds up this Chiddush that you could be Makdash something even though it's same Rosh Hashanah. So fine, that's what's going on in this Brayis. When the Brayis says, God of Hikdashu means the owner is Makdash, I am same Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, it's going like that, Shita, that you can be Makdash never same Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Gemara said before. And in the words of the Gemara, we don't see that revisited. But a number of Mefarshim discuss in different ways whether this last step in the sugya, or this last piece that we just covered today, where the Gemara introduces the fact that there's a Gemara Din, some level of Gemara Din, does that address that earlier issue of it being Eini Bershusa? Rabbi Nuperetz is one of those that raises this issue. Rabbi Nuperetz, he puts it as a kasha. He says, why does the Gemara need anymore that Rish Lakish is going like the Tznuin? Right, that was brought in to take care of the problem of Eini Bershusa. Frek Rish Lakish, once there's a Gemara Din, so it's not Eini Bershusa anymore. And everyone should agree that the owner can be Makdashit. Of course the owner can be Makdashit, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, that holds that a Bailam can't be Makdash his stolen item, because it's Eini Bershusa, but Frek Rabbi Nuperetz, but after the Gemara Din, it's not Eini Bershusa anymore. Now Rabbi Nuperetz asks it as a kasha. Why does the Gemara still need the Tznuim? Why does the Gemara still need to say that Rish Lakish will not sign the price like the Tznuim? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, it's Bershusa now, because there's a Gemara Din? The Pnei Yeshua has the same idea, but he puts it differently. Rather than ask it as a kasha on the Gemara, why do we still need to come on to the Tznuin? He actually says it as a pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara at this point means to say that we no longer need the Tznuin.
we'll come back when we know the Bnei Yeshua to work out exactly what he's doing with the Shaka Vitaria. But for now, I just mean to be pointing out that both of them are there's a Tzad HaShava. They both have the same Svara. That once you say it was Amad Bedin, that should take care of the problem of Eini Rishusan.
Says Rabbeinu Peretz, is the words of Rabbeinu Peretz. So on the side, he asks, on the word Shama Medin, once the Gemara introduces that it was Amma Medin, Ma Anutzrichnam Lashinuyi Ditznuim. Why do we need anymore the teretz that Rish Lakish is saying like the Tznuim, that Rish Lakish will make the price of his own like the Tznuim? Typically, let it be sufficient to keep into Amma Medin. Once it was Amma Medin, then it's Chayev HaGanav. And now the Ganav is obligated to return it. How will the Pikadon be out of Ganav? So now it's like a Pikadon in the hands of the Ganav. He brings the Gemara of Basra up. Now, even Rabbi Yechanan is Moide. He brings it from the Gemara of Basra. We rather mentioned it, I think, in the last year. We mentioned a Rambam. It was Agavurcha, but we mentioned a Rambam that speaks at this halacha that when a person has a Pikadon, he's able to be Makdashit, even if it's 500 miles away. If I give Mayor, that was the example, I think I gave Mayor my laptop, I think, could you wash this for me? And then I go on a trip, I go to Florida. When I'm in Florida, I can be makdish the laptop, even though it's far away from me. But Meir is watching it for me. He's my shamer. So that's not called Enei Bershusay, the Fakir. That's Bershusay. It's in my Rishus, in Meir's house. Just like anywhere in my house is in my Rishus. In my shamer's house is also in my Rishus. So for Rektav Enu Peretz, that the Hamad Bedin over here should make it just like a Pikadon, that I'm, just like a Vyechanan agrees that I can be makdish a Pikadon. Rabbi Yechanan should agree that I can be makdish the Geneva once there was a Gemar Din, because then it becomes like a Pikadon. What's he talking about? It's Bnei Yeshua, I mean, it's Rabbi Yechanan Peretz, and Bnei Yeshua, who also says the same thing, Misvara, that what, after the Gemar Din, it's a Geneva. But once there's a Gemar Din, meaning the guy took it as a Geneva, the guy broke into my house and he stole my shar and he ran away with it. Then Edom catch him, Basin catches him, they bring him to Basin, Edom testify, Basin paskins, chayv atalitin lai, and Rabbi Peretz thinks that now the owner should be able to be makdashit, because now it's not a geneva anymore, it's a pikadon. How is it a pikadon? Well, why does he think that now it should be viewed as a pikadon? What changed? The chayra, what he means is, that, remember, we discussed at the beginning of the week, the two pshatim, the Ramban and the Baal Amar, the Ramban and the Baal Amar argued about whether you can be makdish a geneva once the ganav turns compliant, once the ganav is willing to give it back. He's interested in giving it back. He's einin misariv lases. The Baal Amar said, yeah, then what's wrong? The only reason why you can't be makdish it is because you can't get your hands on it. But once you could get your hands on it, so now you can be back. Now it's Bershusay. And like we said, Rabbi Chanan and others explained that with the Baal Amar holds that it's nothing to do with Kinyonim. It's not because the Ganav has Kinyonim that you can't be Makashit. It's because of the practical problem that you can't assert your control over the Chayfetz. That's why you can't be Makashit. You can't be Makashit or Dabashayin Bershusay because something which you own, you technically own, but you can't exercise your bailus. That's a chasarin in bailus, and you can't be makdashit. But if you could exercise your bailus, because what's standing in your way? The ganav. But the ganav is cooperating, so now you could exercise your bailus. If you tell the ganav that you want him to do such and such, then he'll do it. So at that point, there's nothing stopping you from exercising your bailus. So that's called brishusa. That was the svar of Rabbi in Paris. Once his ain of a sari vlasseis, he's yachal, the bailon yachal akishai. So Rabbi in Paris, apparently following the same svara, but applying it in a slightly different case, over here, we don't necessarily see that the ganav is ain in the sari of lases, but the ganav really has no choice at this point. The ganav is giving it back. He's in Basin. He's under the control of Basin. He's in handcuffs. He's in the Basin. The police caught him. So now it doesn't really matter whether he's compliant or non-compliant, whether or not he feels like being compliant. He's going to be forced to comply. Basin is here. He's in the hands of the police.
So Bein Peretz has a svara that just like the Baal Amar says about a ganav that's in a misari of lasays, and the Baal Amar yachal akishay, so too a ganav that's in the hands of the Beis Din after the Gemar Din is also the Baal Amar should be yachal akishay. The same svara. According to the Ramban, on the other hand, I don't think Bein Peretz would ask such a kasha. According to the Ramban, that the reason why the Baal Amar can't be makdishit is because kinyanei gneva. The ganav has kinyanim on it, so that probably hasn't changed over here. It's hard to think of a svar why that should change, as long as the ganav pater from Eitzim at this point. If he's in Basin, there's a din Torah and Basin passes that he's chayev. At that point, if the shur would die, if a crater would open up and the shur would fall in, would the ganav be pater? Yeah, no reason to dream up such a chiddush. Presumably, he's still chayav. He still has chiyuvei geneva, so he still has kinyanei geneva. Like the words of the Ramban, b'tiras gezel hu b'yadai, gezel geneva. In London, nothing changed. In kinyanim, nothing changed. Where the parents was learning that the din of Einei Rishusa is not totally on kinyanim. It's totally on mitzius of having shlita, having authority, control over the chayfetz. So Rabbi Peretz had a svara that once the ganav was caught, so then the bialim was back in control. So he should be able to be makdashit. So they have perfected Rabbi Peretz. What do I need the tznum for anymore? The Gemara said that Rosh Lakish has to send the price like the tznum, because Rosh Lakish wants the price to be a case of iktishu bialim, not the bialim or makdashit. But the halacha of the bialim can't be makdashit. It's an inyan reshusai. So the Gemara said that Rosh Lakish holds like the tznumim. They hold that you can be makdashit even though it's inyan reshusai. Perfected Rabbi Peretz. Once you come to the end, the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara had a cash with Chazak here on the bottom. The Gemara had to give a Teretz to Zom Bedin. Oh, if it's Zom Bedin, what do you need to assume anymore for? If it wants Zom Bedin, it's Bershusai. It's like a Pekalei. So it's clear, that's what Bein Peretz is Kasha. Bein Peretz and his Kasha was learning, like the Baal Amar, that it's all about control. Now, Lemaitzer, Bein Peretz, he asks this as a Kasha, and he gives an answer. And his answer, he retracts something. What?
His Kasha, he's basing this off of Tosfos. Some sort of
Tosfos,
right?
What are these basing it on Tosfos?
He said this idea that when Yochanan agrees that a Kodim be Makdashit, he quotes that from Tosfos, no?
Actually, Rabbi Peretz quotes it from the Gemara Rav Bastra, the Pnei Yeshua, who says the same thing, he quotes it from Tosfos on Daf Ayin. And I mentioned before that it's a Rambam also.
All three of those only according to the Allah. I don't want to say the Gemara is only
from No. No, the halacha that a pikada you can be makdish a pikadain, that's true even according to the Ramban. That's not Rabbi Eliezer is asking whether the din that Rabbi Peretz is saying that the bialim can be makdish a pikadain, is that also telling on the Baal Amar versus the Ramban? No, the Ramban will agree that I can be makdish a pikadain because the shemer has no kinyani geneva on a pikadain. That's considered beveis habailim. So there, the bialim can be makdish it. Meaning, not only is it not out of his control, it's also not out of his kinyanim. The shemer has no kinyanim on that. But that which, but the Baal Amar added that just like the owner can be makdish a pikadin, he can be makdish a geneva once the ganav turned friendly. And the Baal Amar, the Rabbi Nu Peretz has a similar svara. Just like the owner can be makdish a pikadin, he can be makdish a geneva once the ganav is caught. Those svaris are not like the Baal Amar, not like the Ramban. Now, Rabbeinu Peretz gives a teretz, and in his teretz, he retracts this. He says, no, I realize that you really do need to come onto the snuim, meaning according to Rabbi Yechanan, the owner would not be able to makdish this because it's really still considered einu v'shusai. But he's not being chazer from the lumdus. He's not saying because having power or having access has nothing to do with Bershusay and Bershusay. He just says that he doesn't think that the Metzius is quite as he had suggested. He suggested in his Kasha that once Basin catches you, so that's it, it's all over. It's as good as returned. It's back in his Rishus because he knows he's getting it back. The police have their man, and the police, once you reach this point, the police never blow. Never bungle a case, right? That was that's what you had to add, really, to the svar of Rabbeinu Peretz. It's kasha, right? The lumdus is that Einei Rishusa is totally in control, and over here, once he's caught by the Beis Din, is back into the owner's control because the basin will make the ganav back. But you have to add the assumption that the basin could be trusted. They never bungle a case. Once they catch the ganav, you could be sure that you're getting it back. So in his teretz, he's chayder from that little prop. That, no, it's not called back into the rishus of the owner, because until he actually gets it back, maybe he won't get it back. I guess really in the words of the parents, it's not so clear what it means to be chayzer from. But he says, but it is clear that he's not being chayzer from the Baal Amar, meaning he's saying that if the ganav was saying, yeah, I'll give it back, then the owner can be machdashim. But over here, the ganav is not saying, I'll give it back. True, basically, it's saying you have to. But he's saying, no, it's not true. You got the wrong guy. It's not, I never sold this shur. It is my shur. He's not being maida, even after Edom are made, and even after Basin passing, but he's not being maida. So it's not considered back to Rishusai. I started to say that you know, because basically could always bungle the case. In other Rishonim, they add a knetch over here, which is very gishmak. They say, if you look at the end of the story, what ended up happening, he ran away, and the owner didn't get it back, because he was Tavei HaMashar. So this svara that, oh, once Basin catches him, so it's as good as returned, you see that it wasn't such a good svara, because he ended up being Tavei HaMashar. The Rabbeinu Peretz doesn't say that. Rabbeinu Peretz just says that he's not conceding defeat yet. He may appear defeated to us, but he's not conceding defeat, so it's not called back for Shusai. But again, I stand by what I said before, even though I said it over wrong at first, but I stand by what I said, that the Rabbeinu Peretz is not being chayzer from the svara of the Baal Amar. He holds like the Baal Amar. The Einav Rishusai means that the ganav doesn't have control over it. And therefore, the owner doesn't have control over it. So once the ganav is caught, he thought, oh, that should mean, so now it's back into the owner's control. So then the owner should be able to be makdish it. In his teretz, he says that just because the ganav is caught doesn't mean the ganav is going to cooperate. So it's still called Einav Rishusai. But if we knew the ganav was going to cooperate, then it would be Rishusai. I mean, he's not concerned with the kinyan ganav, he's just concerned with the shlita over the chepes.
In other words, just my understanding, that it's a question of whether or not we can compare a ganav to a shom b'kodim or not. A ganav who is already sacked in, whether we compare him to a shom b'kodim. So this question is whether we can compare.
Right.
And his answer is saying that since we don't know, so we can't compare.
Right. Since he's not cooperative, even though he's caught, but he's not cooperative, he's not like a shomer b'kodim. Right. Okay. That's Rabbeinu Peretz. Now, I mentioned the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua has the same svara as Rabbeinu Peretz, that Amad Bedin should solve, besides for solving the problem that the correct Gemara is Chazakar and Labailim. So the Gemara answers Amad Bedin, so that's why it's not considered Chazakar and Labailim. Zuck the Pnei Yeshua, and when the Gemara says that, the Gemara means to be saying a second thing also. The Gemara means to be saying, and now you no longer need to come onto the Tznuim. Because if it was Amar B'din, and it became Chayav, and he's in the hands of the Beis Din, so it's as good as returned. And now it's considered Breshusai. It's Breshusai of the owner, and so the owner can be Makdashit. Just like Rabbeinu Peretz said, where Rabbeinu Peretz answered as a Kasha, and then in his Teretz he said, no, I guess it's not really so Breshusai. The Pnei Yeshua holds that way. Pnei Yeshua holds Halach Lamaisa, that after the Gemar Din, it is considered returned, and the owner could really go and be makdashit at that point. And so when the Gemara says Kishama Bedin, it means to be taking care of two problems. It's a very dramatic step in the Shaka Vataria. The Gemara originally had asked, how could the owner be makdashit? I say Nebushusa. And I said, well, Rosh Lakish will make the price to go like it's doing. Then the Gemara asked, if the owner is makdashit, it's Chazakar and Labailim. So then the Gemara did this dazzling trick. The Gemara said, Kisham Abedin. And with that, all of your problems evaporate. You bother Chazakar Labailim? No, it's already Ahmad Abedin. It's already Gemara Din. It's not called Chazakar Labailim. You bother that it's Eidib Rishusai? That's also not a problem anymore because it's Ahmad Abedin. After there's a Gemara Din and he's Chayiv, so it becomes like a Pikadin in the hands of the owner. And the owner can be Makdashit. So all the problems go away, even though originally we had said that it's Hudabra Kitznuim, but we don't need that anymore. He doesn't have to be all like the Tznuim because Amma Bedin takes care of that problem. That's how the Pnei Yeshua learns the step of the Amma Bedin. And then the Pnei Yeshua says that the continuation of the reading of the Gemara actually comes out better like this. There's if you read the Gemara, the Gemara said, Kshama Bedin. And the Gemara says, Hechidami, what's the case? Seitein loy, that'll be shver. Because then he became a godson already, and there wouldn't be a din of Dal Vahe anymore. And for the Gemara, loy tzricha, you have to say that it was a case of only chayavata liten loy. From the fact that it was presented as a kasha and as a teretz, there's an implication in the Gemara that saying that it's chayav atalitin loy is a concession. It's like that ideally we would have preferred that it be tzeitein loy, and then the Gemara ends up conceding that it's chayav atalitin loy. Now, in the way that we had learned the Gemara before the Pnei Yeshua, when the Gemara said Kishav Medin, it just meant to do one thing. That's supposed to take care of the problem of Chazakar and Labailam. I Chazakar and Labailam, and the Gemara Kishav Medin. Then the Gemara raises a new problem. Wait, if there's already a Hamad Bedin, then that makes them a Gazlan. They can't be Dal Vahe anymore. But built into the Kasha was that's only true in a Tzeitein Loi, not in a Chayav Atalitin Loi. So it wasn't really a problem. The Gemara just needs to speak out that when we say Kshama Bedin, we don't mean in the case that we'll make a new problem. If it's Seitein Loi, that would make a new problem that it became a Gazlan already. So we mean, but it's not that case. We mean it's only Chayav Atalitin Loi. But the Mashmos in the reading of the Gemara is more that it's a Kasha. Like the Gemara answers Kshama Bedin, and the Gemara, and immediately the Gemara says, that's no good, because what's the case? Seitein Loi, then it should become a Gazlan. Whoever suggested that the case was Seitein Loi, that you should go and ask a Kasha, that then it becomes a Gazlan. And then the Gemara gives a teretz. Well, I guess you could say, like Tzricha, you could say, that's Chayav Atalitin Loi. There's a Mashmos in the Gemara that when we said Kishama Bedin, so for that to really work, that ideally that should have been a case of Seitein Loi. And then the Gemara came and slugged that up by saying Seitein Loi would make him into a Gazlan. The Gemara said, okay, so the Gemara makes a concession. You're right, my Amma Bedin can't be what I wanted it to be. It's Seitein Loi, it has to be the intermediate step of Chayav Atalitin Loi. What was better about Seitein Loi? Why would that have been a more geshmak pshat? Look, the Pnei Yeshua, because what I just said about how the Gemara meant, when the Gemara said Kishama Bedin, that it was not supposed to just be one small step to answer the immediate kasha, but it's supposed to be this dazzling shikotayri that takes care of all the problems. That's only true if it's Seitein Loi. Seitein Loi makes it, you know, how do we want to take care of the old problem that is in the Breshusa? We want to say that it's all done. Based in Gadam, it's all done, and now it's as good as returned. So that's Svara, the Gemara thinks, that's only true if it's a Seitein Loi. If Quirkus was mamish finished, then it's as good as returned. And the owner could be Makdash is considered back for Shusei already. So the Gemara is like a Shama Bedin, and the Gemara meant for it to do two things. That it should take care of the problem of Chazakar and Levailam, and also that it should make it back for Shusei. To that correcting Gemara, what are you thinking? Shama Bedin means Seitein Loi? Because then I would agree with you. That means the Quirkus is all finished, and it's considered already to be back in the Mishnah Rabbah, even though it wasn't actually put there, but the Basin already instructed that it go there. The Basin already instructed that it go there, that's as good as done. So then I would agree with you that it's considered back in Rishus Sai and he's able to be Makdash it. But that's not the case, because Amar Rava, that once it's a Seitein Loi, it becomes a Gazlan, they won't be Chiv Dal Vahe anymore. So the Gemara then on Tamach Tes says, oh, okay, you're right. So my Teres, the Kishama Medin, I have to retract that part that made it what we were calling the dazzling shikotayri that answers all the kashas. All it is chayav atalitin loy, and that it takes care of the immediate problem. Yes, the kasha chazakar on the bialim. To that we give a teres kishama bedin. Yeah, even if kishama bedin only means the intermediate step of chayav atalitin loy, but that's enough to take care of the problem of chazakar on the bialim. But that's not going to make it back for shusa. That's why there's a That's why the Lashon of the Gemara gives you the sense that there's a kasha and a teretz. Not just a clarification. Which kind of Amar Medin do we mean? We mean the Chayavat Luzin like rather than the Seitein Loi. There's a kasha and a teretz. If we had meant the Seitein Loi, we'd be celebrating. Then it would be gavaldic. Then we wouldn't need to come on to the Tznum anymore, because it would be considered Bershusai, and everyone would understand, everyone would agree that the Malach of Makdashen. But since Seitein Loi would make a problem of him becoming a Gazlan, and then there wouldn't be a Din of Dal Vahe anymore, so we can't go that far. We have to say that the case of the Brayz is a Chayavat Halitin Loi. And if it's Chayavat Halitin Loi rather than Seitein Loi, then you're not Marviach that other aspect. And so, meaning that then it's not considered Bershusai. So all it is then is a Teretz to the Kasha of Chatukan Lebailam, but it's not a Teretz anymore to the Kasha of Eidei Bershusai. Then in the last line of the Pnei Yeshua, he says, Inami, or maybe, maybe for Keret, maybe everything we said so far will say the same, that the Gemara with the words Kisha Abba V'din means to be Marviach, that this takes care of the problem in Rishu Sayyid also. And when the Gemara then says, but it can't be Seitein Loi, the Makshin meant to be saying that would only make sense if it was Seitein Loi, but it can't be Seitein Loi, because Seitein Loi would make him into a Gazlan, it wouldn't be Chiv Dal V'hei anymore. So your Pshat doesn't work. But then when the Gemara answers Leitzvicha, which again means that obviously there's some, the Lashon sounds like it's a terrorist, like it's some kind of concession, it wasn't ideal, but maybe the concession is not. So you're right, we're just talking about the earlier stage, Chayavat Halitin Loi, and we're not Marviach Lein of Rishu Sayyid problem. Maybe you could learn that the Teretz was being Mechadesh, the Chayavat Halitin Loi is also Marviach Lein of Rishu Sayyid problem. That when the Gemara brought in, Shabbat Adin for the purpose of taking care of the Ein Bershusai problem. The Amban Adin makes the Bershusai. But first the Gemara thought that, yeah, that I could hear that, I could accept that by a Seitein Loi. But it can't be Seitein Loi. So how are you going to be Raviach Ein Bershusai problem? Loi Tzvicha, the Amban Loi Chayav Atalitin Loi, meaning maybe we could be Mechadesh, that's also enough to take care of the Eidei Bershusai problem. The Pnei Yeshua says, I have two possibilities in what the Inami was doing. Either saying, you know, giving up and saying, okay, fine, I won't take care of the Eidei Bershusai problem, or being Mechadesh, that Chayavat Halitin Loi also takes care of the Eidei Bershusai problem. But either way, the goal of the Gemara was to take care of the Eidei Bershusai problem, and then the Gemara said, I would accept, the Makshin at least was saying, I would accept that with if there was a Seitein Loi, and the Makshin at least was not willing to accept that if it was only a Chayavat Halitin Loi. And then the Taritzin, Pnei Yeshua says, I could go either way. Either the Taritzin was saying, okay, fine, it's Chayavat Halitin Loi, and I won't take care of the Eidei Bershusai problem, or the Taritzin was arguing and saying, no, I think that Chayavat Halitin Loi is also enough to take care of the Eidei Bershusai problem. But I'll call upon him, when we see the Tzad HaShaveh in the Pnei Yeshua and the Pnei Yeshua in the Paris, that both of them had a Svara, that a Gemar Din, one's based in is making him give it back, it's as good as return. Which we said has to follow the story of the Baal Amar and not the Ramban. And the Rabbi Neperitz, though, doesn't learn that the Gemara was saying that. The Rabbi Neperitz was asking it as a kasha on the Ar, why didn't the Gemara say that? And the Rabbi Neperitz said, you know what, because maybe the Svar is not so good. Even the Rabbi Neperitz is right. But maybe this is not quite the same as Ein. Basin is telling him to give it back, but he's not interested in giving it back. He's not willing to give it back. So maybe that doesn't really make it Bershusai. Pnei Yeshua holds, no, it really does make it Bershusai. At least, and the Pnei Yeshua for sure in the case of Seitein Loi. I'm not so sure about what would be the din in the case of Chayavat Halitin Loi. Now, just one more minute on this topic. If you take a look in the words of the Baal Hamar, that we turn to the back of Gemara, you have the Baal Hamar, the piece that we were reading together in the previous year, Sunday or Monday, where he says that Eini Rishusai, that was Bailam can't be Makdash Davish Eini Rishusai, that's only when the Ganav is Misari, when the Ganav is being defiant. But once the Ganav is being compliant, then the owner can be Makdash. Then, after he says that, Vart, he then brings in our Gemara.
Du kimin pek mubisham v'din. That which the Gemara on Daf Samaches is making the setting up the brayse in a case of Amar Bedin, and yet, and he doesn't speak this out, but what does he mean? And yet the Gemara was considering it Eni Rishusai, and he means to be alluding to Rabbeinu Peretz as Kasha. He's asking Rabbeinu Peretz as Kasha. Why did the Gemara have to come on to the Tzumim? Why did the Gemara ask to say Eni Rishusai? If you're ending up saying that it's Amar Bedin, and here I just said a chiddush that once the Ganav is cooperative, then it's called Rishusai. So if the based in Kodam, isn't that as good as the Ganav being cooperative? Why is that so called Eni Rishusai? That's Rabbeinu Peretz as Kasha. Entered the Baal Amar, no, that's still a case where he's refusing, where he's non-compliant. Exactly like Rabbeinu Peretz answered. Rabbeinu Peretz had a hava meaning that once he's caught by the basin, that should make him as good as an Einu Misarev. And the Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, basin's telling him to give it, but he's not agreeing to give it, so that's still called a Misarev. That's what the Baal Amar says. That's still even though it's Amar Bedin, but it's still called that he's Misarev. And then Rabbeinu Peretz, the Baal Hamar adds the words, this was the mistake that I made before. I thought that Rabbeinu Peretz made this point, but he does not. But the Baal Hamar says, v'hadvarim mechichim kein, sherei tfachayu mecharei. Look at the end of the story. 5 minutes later, he went and he shechted it. How compliant could he have been? You see that he's still acting defiantly. So therefore, even though I'm right, that a ganav that's really cooperative, that makes it back for Shusei of the owner, why on Nafsam Ches was he still considered Eino Bershusai? I think Adam was caught, isn't he now as good as co-compliant? No, Teretz says that he's not compliant. Even though the basin is telling him what to do, but he's not interested in doing it. The Haraya, look, he didn't do it. So in those words, he's saying, Mamish like a man in Paris, the Kash of man in Paris, and the Teretz of man in Paris. It's all in half a line. But the Baal Amar is speaking out the Kash of man in Paris and the Teretz of man in Paris. Then he adds, then he adds, and anyway, the maskana ends up saying that it's only a chayav atalitin loy, not a seitein loy. What does he mean in those words? He's saying the Pnei Yeshua. The Baal Amar over there is saying, again, he's bothered by the kasha. I mean, in Peretz is kasha, that if a cooperative ganav is already considered reshusai. So the Ganav was already caught in basin. There was already a Gemar Din. So shouldn't that also make it Rishusai? Why are we still calling it Eini Rishusai? And to that the Teretz is, so first he said, well, maybe he's not really cooperating. But then he said, you know what? Even if you would say that once he's caught, then basin paskind on him and there's a Gemar Din, that's as good as an Eini Misarev. Basin is going to force him to give it back. That's as good as a Ganav that wants to give it back. And that's called Rishusai of the owner. But that's not the case on Samaches. Because the Gemara ends up saying that it wasn't quite a completely completed Gemara Din. It wasn't a Seitein Lai. The Gemara said it for a Zaytik reason, because if it was a Seitein Lai, he'd become a Gazman, he wouldn't be a Din Adal Bahay anymore. But for whatever reason, the Gemara ended up saying that it's only a Chayav Atalit Lai, not a Seitein Lai. Oh, if it's only Chayav Atalit Lai, they never really completed the Psak Din. So that's why the Gemara is not calling it Pershusai. I mean, the Baal Amar is saying, like the Pnei Yeshua, that if there was a real completed Gemar Din, it would be considered back Rishusai of the owner. Like we said, all those Mepharshim are going like the Baal Amar, but now we see even more. The Baal Amar speaks out everything that they said. He asks the Kasha, why is our Gemara still considering it any Rishusai? The guy is caught, he's in the hands of Basin. Doesn't he have to do what they want? So his first teretz is, maybe he won't do what they want. And the Haraya, he didn't. And his second teretz is that even if I would agree that a ganav that's caught is as good as being back Rishusai of the owner, but that's only if he's completely caught to the ultimate level of Seitein Lai. But the Gemara says that we're not talking about a Seitein Lai, we're talking about a Chayav Atalitin Lai, that it's only a more moderate stage of a Gemara, then that's why it's so-called Eini Rishusai. So this Baal Amar in those two lines was really anticipating all the raid that we saw until now. Okay, now we just have a few minutes to cover this in, you know, at least to start it. What's doing at the bottom of the Amud, this Svara in the Gemara, that once based in Paskins, the Dinteri becomes a Gazlan? It's Rava's Chiddush. Our Gemara brings it from Rava and Daf Kavav. Rava said that if a Ganav
stole a behema, a shur, a seh, and then he's caught, he's brought into Basin, and Basin heard from Egypt that he stole it, and they said, you're chayav. So if they already said, say, tain loy, and then he's not going to be chayav, and then if he'll shechted, he's not going to be chayav, and he shechted or sell, he's not going to be chayav, because he's ready in Gaza. Chayav at the legion loy doesn't do that, but say, tain loy, a complete gemara, and paskul, and we'll say, they completed his din Torah, he becomes a Gazan. What's Pshat now? Why does he become a Gazlan? So we said before when we were reading the Gemara that he's acting Gazlan-dick. He's no longer sneaking. He's now being brazen. But it's still pretty much Chodesh-dick. Two Nechudis. One, I'd say without thinking Lomdish, but just the idea that the halacha, that his status is so fluid, it can change. You know, let's say somebody broke into my house, right, in the middle of the night, and he grabbed my laptop, and he runs out, and he's running to his car. And I look out my window, and I say, there he is, I caught him. Stop, thief. And I get into my car, and I chase him, and I catch up to him. So now, right, he comes to a red light, I pull up next to him, he can't get away anymore. So then he gets out of his car, and I get out of my car, and I say, give me back that computer. And he says, what, is it a joke? Well, you're a Rebbe in a yeshiva, you have a gun, if you're going to make me give back the computer? And I say, okay, fine. So I get back in my car, and I drive home, right? Because what else am I going to do? So at that point, is he no longer chayav kapel because he's a Gazlan, not a Ganav? Al-Khari wouldn't say that, even though the point came that he started acting with brazenness, but when he took it, it was the Derech Geneva, so his din is the din of a Ganav. So our Gemara is not going to go and say that any time that his behavior changes, his status changes. But the Gemara is going to, this is what I mean first, let's say, Baal Patish. The Gemara is saying that, yeah, but if something formal, something official happened, that we would call it brazen, meaning based in Paskin that he has to give it back, and he's still holding on to it and not giving it back, that we would call a Gazlanusa. But the mere fact that I confronted him, that's, I don't know, maybe it's too much of an Asata Derech L'Shiurim, it's too subjective. So the Gemara means that if in some official way we could have a din that says that this behavior is called open and brazen, then he would become a Gazlan rather than a Ghana.
Mm-hmm. I had this happen a little bit of a similar discussion there. The Gemara is discussing the fee of Dal and Hay at this point, no?
Yes.
Not the fee of Kefa. It's a future fee.
Right, well, that's because over here the fee of Kefa is already finished.
Right.
But that, because Adam already came, he was in Basin. But in my case, where I catch up with him at the red light long before Adam come, at that point, would we say that if Adam catch him, he's a Gazlan, not a Ganav? He's not a Ganav anymore?
It wasn't Hamadan yet, so.
So you would suggest maybe, yeah.
That's what the Gemara
is
suggesting, yeah.
So, yeah, no, so I was saying, some of you don't have to go that far, and the Gemara is only saying it, you know, what if the light turned green as I got there, and I shouted out at him as he was driving away, and I shouted at him, give that back, and he shouted back, drop dead. And then, you know, do you also call him a Gazlan? Nasata Derech L'Shiurim, that's too subjective. So, but the Gemara is saying, but if he's in Beis Din, so that we could say changes the din. Fine, okay, so that takes care of Nasata Derech L'Shiurim. But the same kasha, though, in a more lumdish way is, how can you call him a Gazlan? Where's his Maisa Gazela? Gazela doesn't just mean acting chutzpahdik. It means chutzpahdik theft. Right? If he didn't take my computer, he just stopped, you know, I'm next to him by a red light and he shouts nasty things at me. He's not a Gazlan for that. He's just nasty. You have to do a maisa gazela. Over here, there was only one theft. That was when he took it from my house. And that was done secretly. So that was a gazela. And now I understand, at this point, let's say we hear that we're reassessing, and right now we don't think he's acting Ganav Dick, we think he's acting Gazlan Dick, but right now what's he doing? He's just holding on to a Chayfetz.
Right.
So where's his mighty? If he say he's not a Ganav anymore, so maybe he's a nothing. But where does he become a Gazlan? So the mashmos of this Gemara would be that, like, if you remember,
we're going all the way back to that.
To the first year of the Zman. Right.
Ganav is within Gazlan.
Exactly. The first year of the Zman, when we're learning the Mishnah, we talked about Ganav and Gazlan. Are they two completely different things, or is one a more specific term and one is a broader term? The Chazon Ish said that everybody's a Gazlan. Everybody that takes Mamin Chaveirai is a Gazlan. The word Ganav doesn't mean as opposed to Gazlan. The word Ganav is a more specialized form of Gazlan. Everybody that takes Mamin Chaveirai is a Gazlan. And some Gazlanim are also called a Ganav, and they have special dinim. So Melech, if we have a Ganav who loses his status, he stopped acting Ganav dick, so he's no longer acting like a Ganav, then what is he? He's a Gazlan. We don't go back and ask, well, where's his Maisa Gzela? His Maisa Gneva was the Maisa Gzela. He became a Ganav and a Gazlan. Being a Gazlan doesn't have any special dinim above being a Ganav. Being a Ganav has special dinim above being a Gazlan. But being a Gazlan doesn't have any special dinim. But so he was originally a Ganav, but if you strip away that layer that he's called a Ganav, then what you're left with is the first layer that he's called a Gazlan. So this Gemara Lachar would be a nice smuchim if we learn the Gemara this way. It would be a nice smuchim to that chiddush of the Chazon Ish that every Ganav is a Gazlan, because look, you see over here that a Ganav could become a Gazlan without having a new Maisa Gzela. The Ha'ara is, though, if you take a look at the words of Rava, the Amr Rava, three lines from the bottom, say tein lai, tevach amachar pater, my tama, kivin to paskul, and they'll say, once they pass into zalacha, v'tavachu machar, and then he went and shechted or sold it, havalei gazlan. Why is the tavachu machar included in what makes him into a gazlan? Wouldn't it have been better to say, kivin to paskul, and they'll say, havalei gazlan? V'tavachu machar, pater, because gazlan ain't a mishalam tishlomei bar b'chamisha. The way we're explaining it, that once he's acting brazenly, Beis Din is there, and they say tein lai, and he's not, he's holding on to it. So that's a gzela. It's not a new gzela, but it's a behavior of a gazlan, and therefore he's not a ganav anymore, so we call him a gazlan. So what makes him a gazlan? The paskul amil say, not the tavachu machar. Now, I understand, until he's tavach ha-mokar, he doesn't make any nafkaminas, because kefal is already chayav, and the only nafkamina is whether he'll be chayav dal v'hei, so that's only relevant once he's tavach ha-mokar. But what makes him into a gazlan, what changes him from a ganav to a gazlan, l'chayri, is not the tavach ha-mokar, it's the paskul amil say. So the words of the Gemara maybe sound a little shtickle lav dafka. As a matter of fact, if you take a look In the Me'iri, when he's saying over what it says in our Gemara, it's clear that he read it as being lav dafka in this sense. He writes it over as follows. Just read you this, and then we'll go. He says, "Im amrut seitein lai." Here, me'achar sha'amrut seitein loy nase gazlan alei ve'ein ze ganav. And then, if he's tevech ha'moicher, he's pater. Me'achar sha'amrut seitein loy nase gazlan alei. Once Beis Din tells you seitein loy, you become a gazlan ve'ein ze ganav. You switch from being a gazlan to a ganav. That's like we were just explaining. That fits very well with the pshat that we were just saying. It's not so much the words of the Gemara. But the pshat that we were saying, that once his behavior is the behavior of a gazlan, he's a gazlan, not a ganav. Where's his maisik zela? That we have the Chazon Ish. The old maisik is the maisik zela. But what changes him from a gazlan to a ganav, from a ganav to a gazlan, is that he's holding it after Beis Din told him to give it back. So, me'achasha amrut, say tainle, paskul amal, say, he's a gazlan. But the words of the Gemara are a little bit not like that. Okay, we'll need that tomorrow. We'll spend a few minutes on this. Okay.
Thank you, Abby.
he's lacking a Meister Gedalim?
Yeah.
What about the Ben?